Yo, what's going on? This is Relaxing LG underscore Jackson. We are back. It is a little bit later in the week, but it is us, the dynamic duo. If you never heard of us before, because Spence is not here, he is laid out on the floor. Don't know why, but that's where he's at.
I don't know, man. I called Spence earlier. He said that, you know, he just got done working, and next, you know, I got a text message. I got an Amber Alert. I get something that's saying he's on the floor. He got some kind of sickness. He was just, you know, eating a lot of pork. I told him about that pork, and then he was trying out a new recipe because you know how he's a chef.
Yeah.
And he was like squeezing the grease from the bacon, and then he was trying to make some type of wine out of it. I was like, Spence, you better stop doing that. That shit gonna fuck your stomach up. And little do you know, now he's laid out on the floor. And we can't fly out. We were like, yo, we got to do the podcast, bro. You got to call 911. So hopefully he's all right.
But where are you located at this week?
Me? Come on, man. I'm on the Isle of Samoa.
Oh, okay.
You already know how the tribal chief is rocking the head of the table. You don't see that motherfucking palm, whatever tree in the back. You don't see the waves crashing. Oh, come on, man. This is where they shot Moana at. This is, you know, the Isle of Samoa.
I was confused. I didn't know. I just saw waves in the background, and I figured I had to kind of figure out as to what was going on back there.
Yeah, man. So you know how we're rocking out here, man. Come on.
Well, how are you doing this week?
I'm all right, man. I don't know. Just another week. You know what I'm saying? It's tired being the tribal chief. So a lot of business moves, a lot of business decisions. Yeah, last week I fell down the stairs and broke both of my ankles. But thanks to the technology, I was able to get them repaired pretty fast. Now, actually, you know, I can run faster than the fucking messenger of the gods.
Wow, who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Tribal chief, man.
You know, before we were talking on here, I was just talking about how I went grocery shopping the other day. And for whatever reason, the price of groceries have seemed to just skyrocket. Like, I saw a tweet. It said, eating out is almost the same amount as eating in. And I had to think about it. And the price, I was like, you know, they might not be lying.
No, it's definitely crazy as far as, like, groceries go, because, like, everything is cheaper. So, like, if you buy a bullshit, let's say you buying a bunch of Hungry Man's and whatever TV dinner bullshit, right, the shit that's not good for you in the long run, yeah, your grocery bill probably be like $50, you know, maybe $100 if you get a lot. But if you get, like, real food, especially, like, trying to get natural, organic type shit,
right,
yeah, your bill's going to run up. Not included, like, you know, of course, not everybody just drinks water. Some people like to drink soda, which I tell people that's poison. And then some people like to get their orange juice and apple juice, which is nothing wrong with that, especially if you got kids, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's going to run up. Then you got to get my effing paper towels, toilet paper. You got to get the stuff for the bathroom.
Peanut butter,
eggs, all that bullshit. That's groceries, though. I consider that groceries. Okay. But, like, you know what I mean? Oh, damn, I need trash bags for the crib because, you know, now you got to get trash bags for the crib. You know, that's another $50. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's wild. I never want to go to that grocery store.
That I'm just saying, like, this shit, it's ridiculous. And I feel like you're better off probably going to, like, Costco or something like that. One of those places that you have to buy, like, a yearly membership, just because at least you get bulk and you get shit in bundles. If you go to your local grocery store, I don't know, Safeway, right? You pull up to Safeway, you coming out spending $500, $600, and you sitting there like, damn, I can't pay the rent. That's your fault, bro. You should have went to Costco.
Or you just order your shit off of Amazon piece by piece, man. Because low-key, that's not really all that expensive.
I mean, it's not expensive to you and I, but to the average person, it could be pretty costly.
I thought they had, like, a plan if you have, like, a little reoccurring buying thing or whatever for them. I thought it was, like, a discount on their items and whatnot. If I'm not mistaken.
Like 10%. It's not.
I'm not saying it's a lot. I'm just saying they have a discount.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. I don't pay attention to discounts, bro.
Hey, you got to work the game because look, if you
got to work the game for things that are out of your budget. You don't have to work for the game for the things that are within your budget. And the reason why I say that, hear me out. I know you're about to say something. I cut you off, but this is what the tribal chief does. All right, I'm sorry. If you let's say, hey, my grocery bill is $100 a month, right?
Right.
Well, you've already allotted the funds for that.
Right.
So you don't have to penny pinch all that unless what you're trying to do is, hey, I want to take down my current funds for grocery and make it even cheaper. Then that's different. But if you're dead set on that $100, like, hey, no matter what, I'm allocating these funds to groceries, $100, nothing less, nothing more. You don't have to worry about budgeting because you already budgeted. Now, if it's something like, all right, now groceries, then you take your ass to like Chick-fil-A or something. Then yeah, then now you got to start worrying about budgeting and shit like that, because now you got to be like, damn, do I sacrifice my groceries so this way I can get this Chick-fil-A? Because you know that's like $30, $40. Or do I go, you know, don't go to Chick-fil-A and don't get fat and die and go to the grocery store? You know, life is about balance of choices, bro. You got to think about it. Like when you bought, you know, when you bought your motherfucking S-Class Mercedes, right?
Okay.
When you first bought that motherfucker, and listen, I'm talking about years ago. When you first bought this shit, you know, you was hype. You was like, damn, wow, like, I got a Mercedes. And I'm like, I know, bro. Like, it's nice. Welcome to the club. So right, anyway, you was driving around and then boom, about a year later, you had to start worrying about maintenance. And he knows German motors ain't cheap. So you was like, damn, man, do I sacrifice my bills or do I take care of my car? I was like, damn, Nigel, you might as well go and trade that shit in, man, because you can't afford the motherfucker. Then you went ahead and got a Kia. Now you living good.
That'll never be me with the Kia, ever. Listeners, no.
You should have ran with this shit.
Nah, it was cool when you said the Mercedes, I was with it. But then you said the Kia, I had to stop it right then and there. I had to.
Damn.
But look, the way I was taught was is that if you need it, like if you need your car repaired, you need your car repaired. You know what I mean? That's not like something you can kind of pinch your pennies on. You can figure out people who can do it for cheaper and whatever, but that's something you need. Chick-fil-A is not a need. You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
To some people, it's a need.
Chick-fil-A?
To some people, bro, you got to hear.
Name one person in America who needs to eat Chick-fil-A.
No, it's not a necessity, but some people treat it as such, right? Some people, hey, for example,
okay,
I got to go to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee every morning. You don't have to. You could go to the grocery store, get the little K-Cups, buy a little coffee machine. You're probably saving hundreds of dollars a month. But some people don't want that. Nothing's better than Dunkin'. Nothing is better than dry, unflavored donuts. Nothing is better than stale coffee. And it's not really coffee. It's like mud scraping from the road and then liquefying it. Like, nothing's better than that.
No, so, it's like Starbucks.
I don't care for Starbucks. I don't have, when I want coffee, I use my coffee machine. And I got the good shit too. Boop, 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 boop. Boop. And
what sounds like?
Look, man, when you're on the island of relevancy, you see all this shit.
Right.
You just have nice shit. You think of nice shit. You talk about nice shit. You know, you don't worry about Dunkin' Donut.
Who's out there with you?
But that's top secret.
Okay, all right.
I cannot reveal that information to you, because if you do, I'll compromise the individuals that's along with me. I can't.
That sounds so dangerous. My God.
But back to the matter at hand, right?
Okay.
Yes, Chick-fil-A is not a necessity, but right, some people treat it as such is what I'm trying to say. So because of that, people are not financially stable and they're not financially smart. Actually, they're financially dumb.
A lot of them are. That's unfortunately true. Yeah. But you know what, though? Like, I at this point in time, I have to blame that on a lot of people, because the information is out there for a lot of people. And the way I see it is, if you can have access to the information, then you can do something to change it. I'm not saying that you have to be, you know, Mr. Moneybags, you know, and, you know, Mr. The Scrooge and shit. But at the same point in time, there are ways to be better with your money. And if you're not better, then I have to kind of look at you first.
I think it depends if that person is exposed to where that knowledge could be acquired to. You know what I'm saying? If somebody is, they don't know any better, then how do they know they could be taught, I don't know, what's the proper terminology for financial literacy or whatever? Yeah. Yeah. If they're not aware of that shit, they don't know any better. They think like, hey, every time I get $700 a check, I take, you know, 500 of that and buy a designer. They don't understand that shit. Like, for example, we used to work at this department/retail store back many moons ago.
Right.
Before I was the tribal chief and before you was the special counsel. And there was this guy working at the electronics department. Mm-hmm. And he was a cool guy for the most part. I don't know how he is today, but at that time, I remember we were just chit-chatting, and the brother told me, he was like, yeah, man, I've been saving out like 4 checks for this Prada jacket. I was like, damn, for real? He said, yeah, man, I'm about to get this Prada shit. But I'm like, damn, bro, like, you might have been working at this place a little longer than me, but I know you're not making a lot more money than me. And if you got to save up about 4 paychecks for this Prada jacket, damn, bro, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to crap on people who want to buy things that make them happy. But that's kind of like, you know, that's a little crazy. A dude was like, yo, I'm saving up 4 paychecks for a car or for a motorcycle or for a crib or for a vacation. That's different. But he said a Prada jacket, bro. You probably don't even wear that Prada jacket these days. So but some people aren't aware of that shit. That's all I was just saying.
I'll answer that with a question, and then I guess we can move on to the next subject. But
All right.
You remember we used to work at a warehouse together. Listeners, me and Big Cozy have had a lot of jobs together, if you haven't noticed. But we worked at a warehouse together, and there was a guy who was working on the docks with us, and he had on a Gucci belt. Yeah. And he had a shirt up to show off said Gucci belt. And it wasn't a bad looking belt. It was like, okay, whatever. You know, it was just a belt, right?
Once you've seen them one, you've seen them all, you know.
Right. So, like, you know, we're sitting there and it's like, all right, cool. So we get off later in the evening. It's dark outside. Everybody's trying to get home. And he looks at me. He's like, yo, can I use your phone? And I was like, nah, man, my phone died. And he's like, damn, man, all right. But he had his Gucci belt. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, so here, to give the dude benefit of the doubt, right? Did his phone die too?
He didn't have a phone.
I can't give him a benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying, see, you just gave a great example, right? And what was your question? You said you was going to answer that with a question.
No, I said I was going to answer that with a story. That was my story.
Oh, okay.
And then we can move on to the next subject.
All right, yeah, let's just move on, you know what I'm saying? Because we could give a lecture, you know, front of MIT, you know what I'm saying?
No, but we can't do that for the listeners. We have better things to talk about. So
yeah,
recently there is a episode of The Pivot where Channing Crowder came out and called Russell Wilson a square. I guess this has something to do with him trying to get with Sierra. I'm not sure as to why he would say that or as to why he thinks that. Lau, do you have any more information on the situation?
I think from like the clips that I see, I think it had to do with Sierra leaving Future to be with Russell. Okay. Well, not necessarily like a direct, like, all right, she left Future, then went straight to Russell. I think Sierra Future, as you know, is public knowledge now that they have a child together. Future wasn't doing right by her.
Right.
So she moved on. While Future moved on as well. And Russell Wilson happened to be the man that she ends up falling in love with, married, multiple kids, multi-millionaires, happy,
right?
Whatever the fuck, right?
Like happy all the time.
Right. I mean, and as they should be, you know what I mean? They seem like they're both good people and they're with good energy. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the dude, what's the dude's name? Channing, whatever the fuck his name is.
Channing Crowder came out and said pretty much if he didn't have that bread, she wouldn't have left him for, she wouldn't have left Future for him.
Right, because she said that Russell's a square in real life or whatever.
Right.
Despite him being a really good football player, he's a square. I think that's corny. I think the dude is wrong for saying that. I think that's actually insulting Russell Wilson. I mean, yeah, a herb is a herb. I get it. But, like, you don't know what Sierra would have went for if Russell ain't had money. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, like, no good woman or any woman for that matter, they typically don't look in the direction of a man who's broke. You know what I'm saying? Unless she's broke too. Now, if she's not broke and she got buddies, especially Sierra, millionaire, right? She's, you know, guys that's making $20,000 a year. I don't think Sierra's looking at that. You know, and this is no disrespect to that guy, but Sierra, she's in a different league. She's dealing with other shit. So for him to say that, that's not fair. Because I'm like, dude, like, I don't know. I'm assuming the dude makes some nice change. If you wasn't getting money like that, I'm pretty sure a lot of women would look at you differently too.
Right.
So for you to say that, it comes off as like you hate, you know, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, no problems. He never heard a single issue for the dude. Plays hard as hell in the NFL. Good teammate on and off the field. He took Sierra in, despite Sierra's history with Future, because that was her last situation prior to Russell. He accepted her son, married her, gave her more kids. Now they're sitting, now they're going to be rich, wealthy, whatever the fuck, until the day that they die, and they're going to be happy. So how can he hate that? And how can you come out and be like, oh, well, he's a square. You know, she only with him because he had, you don't know that. What if Russell Wilson made like $250,000 a year doing whatever the fuck, maybe Sierra might look at him. It might be like, yo, the dude is a good dude. I don't think Sierra got with Russell because he's a multi-billionaire. I think she got with him because Russell's a good dude. There's plenty of other guys with money. She didn't have to choose Russell.
Here's my thing, right? Like, she got with him and had multiple kids with him. So, I mean, she got to love him in some way, shape, or form. You know, most women, I'll put it like this, like, most women with sense, like, aren't going to let themselves get pregnant by a man if they don't love them in some way, shape, or form. You know, that's not something that women usually do.
No. There's women out there that like to trap dudes. But what I'm trying to say, though, in the case of Sierra and Russell, since that's what we're talking about, I don't think Sierra got with Russell because he's a millionaire, multi-millionaire football player. She could have got with any other rapper outside her Future who made millions. She could have got with an actor who made millions. You know, Russell Wilson isn't the only good dude on earth that makes millions of dollars. He's not. So obviously she fell in love with the dude. She got with him because she realized this guy's a good man, accepting her son, her past situation, this out of third. And look at that. Russell Wilson ends up being the dream husband that she has and many other women wish to have as well. Not Russell specifically, but the characteristics of the shit that he's doing for his wife. So for whatever the fuck that guy name is on said podcast, for him to say that, that's some hating shit, I disagree with
him. Well, do you disagree with what Cameron Newton said to the people today? Or recently, I should say, on $1 million a game? $1 million worth of game, excuse me.
You should probably let the listeners know what he said.
So, listeners, Cam Newton essentially said that he wouldn't want to get with a woman that calls herself a bad bitch because they don't know as to when to be quiet, and they can't do things that I would say a traditional woman would do, like cook. Now, Lyle, how do you feel about this?
So there was a little more to that besides that.
Okay. Well, what else did he say?
So, I mean, you should have said the whole transcript, bro.
But okay. Anyway, do you have it?
I don't have the whole transcript. I don't have the whole transcript, man. You should memorize these things. What are you?
Excuse me.
I didn't hire you as the special counsel for you to forget.
I am not hired, listeners.
So you are hired. How do you think he got that pristine equipment? How do you think that you were able to wake up in a house?
I can show you the receipts. I mean, if you want to know how I think, I can show all you the receipts.
All right. We'll have to debate about that later. So I think the big thing that the Cam Newton situation, not situation, but what he said was like basically, women don't know how to be quiet because they don't know how to let it, like those man certain lead. Those certain type of women don't know how to let a man lead. Now, I think that's, of course, a riled up women, no doubt about it. But to all the lovely female queens, listeners, hear me out before you cast judgment. I think Cam Newton is right to a I think he's right, but I think it depends on the relationship and the partners involved in that relationship and their understanding between one another. I don't think that works for every man and woman in 2022, or a woman, or man, a man. I don't think that works for every relationship in 2022. I think it works, it depends. So, and I want to say, because he's not entirely wrong, but he's not 100% right neither, is what I want to say. So there's some women out there that look for a man to be ultra alpha dog. They make all the life career decisions, et cetera, super breadwinner. And then there's some women that don't want that. Some women want to be like, hey, I want to be ultra alpha dog, make all the life decisions, da da da. There are some women that's willing to do 50 and 50. So I feel like it just depends on the two partners in the relationship. And then it take it from there. I don't think it, for Cam Newton, if that's what he wants, he's very entitled to that. That's him. That's his preference. He's allowed to have that. If a woman doesn't like that shit, she's very entitled to that. That's her. That's her preference. And she could do whatever the fuck she want to do and be with whatever dude she want to be with. So I feel like it's a situational thing. It's not just black and white.
I think when I heard him, I understand what he said, but I think he could have said it in a better way. And also people have to realize that that's what he wants and not necessarily what he wants for everybody. So there's that. I think him saying, you know, bad bitch in his explanation as to what he wants is going to come off a certain way. Cause I know some, you know, women use that as like a empowerment type of thing. Like, you know, they're a bad bitch, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So like when you say that and then you say, oh, you don't cook, you don't know when to be quiet, it's going to come off a certain way. So I understand why people hear that and they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, he's demeaning women, but I don't think that's what he was necessarily trying to do. He's just saying, hey, look, some women, while they are independent, they don't know how to be cooperative or how to, you know, I would say, you know, you can't necessarily lead all the time. Sometimes you have to pass off the baton. You know what I mean? So I think that's what he was trying to say, but I think he got lost in translation a bit.
I mean, I don't want to sit there and defend his stance. I'm just giving you my perspective on what
I'm not defending. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Like him saying what he's saying, maybe he meant to say it that way. I don't fucking know. Would I say if I'm talking to a woman, would I talk to her that way where like, you know, you don't know when to be quiet, you should have called yourself? No, I wouldn't. But that's not my situation. For Cam Newton's situation, might be different. He might be like, bitch.
Maybe he wants his girl to cook. Is there something wrong with that? I don't personally think there is. There's women who want their men to cook, you know?
No, there's something wrong with that. I'm not saying that. Let me not say that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I was saying, if you listen with the pea brain between your eyes.
You got to save that for the listeners. That's not me. Save that for the listeners.
What I'm saying, though, Remember, I hired you as my special counsel. Oh, so okay. What I talk, you have to be quiet. All right. So what I'm saying, though, is like what I've been saying is like, hey, this is how Cam feels, and he's entitled to feel that. His viewpoints does not represent all relationships is what I'm basically saying.
That's fair. I think it's always interesting to see how Cam Newton is handled in the media, because I feel like while sometimes he does put his foot in his mouth, I feel like they never hold back when it comes to Cam. So it's always just interesting. So I guess that kind of just is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, man.
This past weekend, we had the pleasure of watching the first UFC event in what felt to be quite a bit of time. I think it was like a couple weeks. It was UFC 277.
273. Repeat that.
UFC 273. And it was Alexander Volkanovski versus the Korean Zombie. It was a good card. Lyle, did you want to go through the card and see as what you thought?
I just want to talk about the highlights, really.
Okay, we'll give you your thoughts.
All right, well, Khamzat versus Gilbert Burns. Easy, clear as cut fight of the night. Potential fight of the year. Of course, we got several months to go before we have a final verdict on that. Fantastic fight. I thought Khamzat won. I gave Khamzat the first round.
Yep.
And he eked out that third round.
Yep.
That's how I scored it. 29-28, Khamzat Chimaev. I am impressed with both fighters because I thought Gilbert was going to fold up in that second round. I was like, well, you know, Khamzat's the real deal, of course, but damn, Gilbert, you know. But no, Gilbert just showed, like, I'm a tough motherfucker. I'm top five. So, shouts out to Gilbert for almost winning the fight, for real. And shout out to Khamzat for being a guy who was sitting outside the top 10, beat the number two guy according to UFC rankings. He's the number two guy. And then now, motherfucking Khamzat is what? Number two, number three, depending on how the rankings fall, whatever. Like, that's crazy. This guy he's now 8-0. He's only been fighting for 4 years. He just took out the number two guy, former welterweight challenger. Like, the ceiling is high for Khamzat. Do I think he should get Usman next?
No,
I don't. I think that's wrong. But if the Kobe Covington fight is a reality for him, yeah, take that fight. Because if he beats Kobe, and that's a strong if he beats Kobe, yeah, he's ready for a title shot. But if he doesn't lose to Kobe, it doesn't ruin his career, but it just means like, okay, maybe we should slow down a little bit.
I feel like when I saw Khamzat fight, I thought that all of the hype around him was real. It was pretty much, hey, look, if you had any doubts about him, you know, these questions could be answered in these fight. He has a chin. He has some punching power. He has a ground game. Like, everything we thought about him seems to be true. And not only that, like, he went in there and had a war with the guy who was ranked number two when nobody was expecting that. People thought that, you know, he might go in there and beat him. Nobody thought it was going to be a back and forth war the way it was. So we know that he has it in him to bring it to another dude. And we also know that Kamaru Usman, Kobe Covington, which are the only two people ahead of him at this point in time, and Leon Edwards, you know, I guess those people – you know, will be in for a fight if he sees them, because he has the skill set to stay in the top five.
Yeah. Khamzat made some mistakes in the fight. I'm not going to like break down, but I feel like if he wrestled more, he probably would have been more dominant, might have gotten a finish. I think he was being very macho and just wanted to show, like, I can knock you out. And because of that, that's why Gilbert was able to bring himself back in the fight, almost knocking out Khamzat, if we're being for real. And I think these are the growing pains that Khamzat is going to take with him, learn, and become even a more better fighter than what he already is. I think what Khamzat is right now is just off of raw talent. Once he starts putting it together and having gaining that experience, that fight experience, we're looking at a future champion whether it's at welterweight or middleweight, because he's, you know, he flirts with the idea of going up there and trying to challenge Israel for the belt too. The next fight for me, which was a highlight of the night, was Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan II. This one was pretty controversial, listeners, because a lot of people, the scores were everywhere. Some people thought Aljo won. Some people thought Piotr won. And some people thought it was a draw. I scored it for Aljo. I thought he did enough in the first round to win. He dominated the second and third round. With, I think the second round is it's a debatable 10-8 round. Now, did I give him a 10-8 in that second round? I would say off of my first watch, I would say no. It was close, but I would say no. But like I said, I think he won the first three rounds. Piotr clearly won rounds 4 or 5, but he did dominate Aljo at rounds 4 or 5. But he was better in those two rounds. Aljo, he's the for sure, in my opinion, he's the clear-cut bantamweight champion in the world. A trilogy might happen, but I think it's time for him to move on. I know TJ Dillashaw should get the next shot, but if it is him, then fuck it, so be it.
You know, I think that Aljo eked out a win. I rewatched the fight this morning, and that first round is really what makes or break it for either fighter, makes or breaks it. But it was so close watching it. Like, Piotr Jan landed the more powerful strikes, I'll say, but there weren't many. And Aljo was just more busy. So that, like, it seemed like he was just working more and also pressing the pace. The second and third round, Aljo won handily. The fourth and fifth round, Piotr won handily. They were back and forth in the fourth and fifth, but he did enough to win in my eyes. So when I watched the fight this morning, I understand as to why people thought Piotr won, but I initially thought Aljamain Sterling won. I would personally think that the fight is damn near a draw on rewatching it. It's very close.
Yeah, it's a very close fight. It was very close. That first round, depending on how people score and judge fights, it could either go either way. I gave Aljo the first round because even though they weren't doing a whole lot in the first round, it came down to Aljo outstruck him. He landed more strikes.
Yep.
And it wasn't like pity pat bullshit punches, you know, the real strikes. And I felt like Aljo did more. And that's what made me give it to him, eking out the round. It wasn't like Piotr Jan threw out like three punches and then knocked Aljo down each time.
Right.
It wasn't like that. So some people think that Piotr got like hesitant and shit because he was being emotional. He was looking for that knockout blow. Whatever the fuck the reason is, Aljo outstruck him that round. And right, you got to give credit to Aljo because he really utilized a lot of footwork in this fight to avoid the striking exchanges. Like, he did enough striking, but you could tell, like, hey, me and my coaches, we did not fucking train to get in a fist fight. You know, we're going to play the game of MMA. And what I mean by that is use all his tools. So he utilized his striking. He utilized distance control. He utilized, you know, obviously his grappling because, you know, he almost submitted him in the second round. So I feel like Aljo, they had a more all-around approach, while it seemed like Piotr Jan, at least for the first three rounds, was like, it came off as like he was trying to headhunt, or not headhunt, but like really just put it on him and knock him out.
It was interesting watching it back, man. Like, I don't know as to why, you know, he did that. I didn't really think it was anything too crazy because I thought they were both swinging kind of hard. I think even in the first or second round, Aljo swung and like just like completely threw himself off balance. So it was kind of crazy, but I don't know. It's an interesting fight. You should watch it again when you have the chance. But that being said, the main event was Alexander Volkanovski versus Chan Sung Jung, the Korean zombie. It was a good fight. I watched that fight again as well.
It was not a good fight. It was another killing pass win.
No. It was crazy, man, to see that happen. I rewatched it, especially the second time around. Like, when Alexander Volkanovski hit him hard every time. And, like, not only that, as the fight was going on, he was getting really precise with his strikes. And he took him down and worked him a little bit. Not a lot, but when he had to take him down, he took him down. Alexander Volkanovski is a well-rounded fighter, and his stand-up is pretty damn nice. Like, the way he was working, I would say, the jab and some of his hooks in the fight. Really catching him.
He packed him up and shipped him out of there, folded him up. He made him look like he didn't belong at that level. Shouts out to Chang Sung Jung, but he should go on a retirement tour because this is it for him as far as championship fights. Plus, he's getting up there in age. Plus, the damage is probably starting to take a toll on him. I want to see Volkanovski fight Max again. I do. I feel like put that trilogy to rest. He already beat him, right, on paper twice. Even though I thought that first fight, he clear-cut won all five rounds. He shut him out. But that second fight, I gave it to Max. But I'm not, like, one of the people online. I'm not like them. So it is what it is. I think he should fight Max a third time. If he beats Max, I think it's time for Volkanovski to move up to lightweight. Because there's nothing else at lightweight. Unless he starts fighting people like Calvin Kattar and Yair Rodriguez. But at that point, he's just fighting people just to fight them. He's not fighting them because they're dominating the division and stuff. At least Max Holloway got two wins after his second fight with Volkanovski. Everybody else, the only person that's on a win streak, like a crazy win streak, would be Arnold Allen. But is Arnold Allen ready for that title shot yet? You know what I mean? Exactly. You know, I saw some people talk about Josh Emmett, but I'm like, really, Josh Emmett? You're just throwing people in there for the sake of it. That's what I'm saying. After Max Holloway, I think it's time for him to move up if he wins. If he doesn't win, then we'll see like a fourth fight, like Brandon Moreno and Figueiredo.
Now, I know you've heard the rumors about Henry Cejudo coming out of retirement and fighting Alexander Volkanovski and becoming the first three weight division champ.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't like the idea of that fight. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to see him have that fight. He can fight Aljo, and I think that would actually make a little bit more sense at the moment because there's not many people other than TJ. But, like, I can understand why he wouldn't want to fight Volkanovski because other than Max, you know, that's another fight that makes sense. But at the same point in time, like, I'd rather not see him come off the bench and do that fight. To me, that's just not something I'm very interested in. I'd rather see him move up to lightweight and fight somebody there.
I would see that fight. I would like to see that fight at featherweight. And you can say all Jesus all you want to, but you have to remember and expand your mind and keep an open space. We just talked about the top of the featherweight division. Besides Max Holloway, who's there at featherweight? That's going to give him a legitimate challenge. No, and I'm not talking.
We said that.
Okay, all right. So now we got that. If Henry Cejudo comes back, I'm not saying he should get the media title shot, but if he has one fight, it needs to be like whoever is the number two ranked guy, number one ranked guy. Then after that, give him the shot against Volkanovski. But let me finish, man. Cejudo, I mean, if it wasn't for him to be out for 2 years or however much longer he's going to be out before, if he actually steps in the octagon, let's be real. He left the UFC a two-time world champion, holding both the flyweight championship and the bantamweight championship. So it's not like he left on a loss. He left on a winning streak, holding two championships at the same time, right? So right there, he should get immediate title shot. TJ Dillashaw is getting immediate Well, not immediate, because he was gifted the decision against Corey Sandhagen.
There you go.
But what I'm saying is, you know, he had to be in that one fight, and now he might be the next challenger for Aljo. While Cejudo, if he has to take one fight, then fuck it. It is what it is. But if he doesn't have to take one fight and he's booked an immediate shot at the belt, why not? I guarantee you, if Khabib came back, he would immediately get booked at the shot at the belt. So I feel like it's justifiable to a point for Cejudo. The only discrepancy is the fact that he's going up at featherweight and getting the shot. If it was at bantamweight, nobody would have batted an eye or complained. Flyweight, no one would have batted an eye or complained. But since he's at featherweight and he's never fought at featherweight professionally, that's where people are kind of having some drawbacks. I feel like I wouldn't be upset if he got the immediate shot, but I understand if he fights a number one contender's fight first. And that's fine. He does not need to be on no win streak or not. No, nobody was beating him back about 2 years ago. So why does he have to go back and be fucked like Leon Edwards got fucked? Like, let's not do that. You know what I'm saying?
No, if he came back, he would definitely get a shot. You know what I mean? I think that what they should do is put him against Max Holloway and just honor, make it a thing. Why not build up some contenders in the meantime? If you're going to do it.
Well, if you put him against Max Holloway, who's Volkanovski going to fight?
He can wait.
No, you can't say he can wait.
Why not? He's a champ.
What if he wants to be one of those champions that wants to fight?
Okay.
That wants to be active.
Exactly. He can fight both of them.
How, if they're already going to be fighting each other?
I'm not saying if they fight each other, of course they can't do that. But if he fights one then the other, then he can do that.
Okay, so what's wrong with Henry getting a media title shot then? If he's back,
there's no problem with it.
I'm not saying Max should. I'm not saying Henry should get it over Max if Max is available for the next shot. But what I'm saying is, if the Volkanovski and Max fight already happened, and Volkanovski wins or loses, whatever the fuck, you know, it to me, it's not a big deal for Henry to get the next shot of the belt. Now, if Arnold Allen, let's say he beats, I don't know, Yair Rodriguez, and he beats another top five contender, then yeah, Arnold Allen should be next. But Arnold Allen's not, he's not in that position yet. So if you look at the featherweight rankings, besides Max Holloway, there's nobody else that makes a strong case to fight for the belt.
So we might as well, is what you're saying. I hear you.
In so many words.
I hear you. Well, leaving that in last Saturday, moving on to next Saturday, we have the Errol Spence fight coming up. Isn't this his first fight in like a pretty long time because of the car accident, correct?
No. So after the car accident, which happened a couple years ago, he was out for a minute. He came back and he fought a guy named Danny Garcia. Mm. He beat Danny Garcia pretty handily. Then he was scheduled to fight Manny Pacquiao. This was last year. Remember when we went to Las Vegas? And then the weekend that we were there at Las Vegas, that's when Errol Spence should have fought Manny Pacquiao. But I think I want to say like a week or 2 weeks prior to that, Errol Spence had a fall out of the fight because he had a severe eye injury. So he has a fight in a while because of that eye injury. This guy that he's fighting now, who just beat Pacquiao last year, now they're unifying the welterweight titles.
Okay.
Not all of them, because Terrence Crawford still has one championship. But the IBF, WBC, and WBA, those three titles, I think they're going to unify.
Okay. So I heard that this guy that Errol Spence is fighting, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I want to say it's either Yordanes or Ordanes Ugas. I can pronounce his last name, Ugas, but his first name, you know, forgive me, of course. I think it's Yordanes or Ordanes. Not to butcher his first name, I'll just be saying his last name, Ugas.
Well, I heard Ugas isn't all that bad, apparently. You said he just beat Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao's, you know, still doing his thing somewhat. So he has to be somewhat nice. I don't know much about them, so I don't really have much to say. But I am curious to see Errol Spence after all this time off.
Yeah, I want to I swear you and Errol Spence are probably like cousins or something, because y'all motherfuckers look alike. But so I mean, just for like a quick prediction, I think this fight is gonna be very competitive. I think Errol Spence is gonna win on the judges' scorecard, but I don't think this is gonna be like some wash or blowout. I think it's gonna be a very competitive fight. That's my quick prediction. Do you have a quick prediction, Naj?
I'm going to say, just off of not knowing anything, I'll take Errol Spence in the ninth.
All right. I know we have another quick prediction. Maybe this one you could give a little insight on, since you're more knowledgeable.
Yes.
When it comes to the sport of MMA. You are knowledgeable in the sport of MMA. I will acknowledge you with that. But
thank you. I appreciate that.
But you must acknowledge your head of the table, your title.
I will.
All right. So AJ McKee and Patricio Pitbull, they're having their rematch for the featherweight title of Bellator. It's actually this weekend as well. Who do you got, man? Who do you got between the two? You don't have to give a real breakdown and who's better where. Just who do you got?
I think I'll have AJ McKee in this fight. Just the way he handled the first fight, he looked to not be in any type of worry at all. Now, that being said, the first fight was pretty damn fast. But that being said, though, when you finish it that fast, I have to assume with that skill set that he has, it wasn't on accident. But that being, and not only that, like, Patricio's not a guy to get caught like that by many people. So it's interesting. I think he's going to win, maybe not in the first round this time, but I think it will be another finish in the first three.
Interesting. I think AJ McKee is going to win as well. I actually think it's going to be a decision. And the reason why I say that, because Patricio Pitbull could easily be a top five featherweight in the UFC. He's a dog. He was a killer for a very long time in that featherweight division, Bellator. Not necessarily, he had solid competition. Not every opponent he faced was great, but he did have some strong opponents as well. But he's very skilled. You know how sometimes when you see a fighter, it's kind of like the eye test. You look at him and you're kind of like, all right, this motherfucker, he's good.
Right.
That's how I feel about Patricio Pitbull. I just think AJ McKee is just a little better. And I don't think it's going to be, I think that simply, I just think it's going to be more competitive with AJ McKee getting a decision.
Now, moving on from that, on to some music stuff. There's been a lot of music that came out recently. I know Action Bronson put out a video that we both watched. Action Bronson, actually, he looked like he was somewhere where you're at. Actually, yeah. He looked just like he was somewhere where you're at, with blue screen and everything.
Yeah, it's, wow, blue screen. I'm actually here, motherfucker. Fuck
okay.
You.
Okay,
so I'm in the Isle of Samoa. Yeah, yeah, I just seen...
Those waves look kind of fake to me. I don't see any... I don't feel water on that.
Wow, you're fake. You're fucking fake. Yo, keep trying. You will be fired and you will be out of a job.
Hey, my room's all white, but at least I'm actually in the bitch. That's all I'm saying.
You're pretty close. Yeah, man. So what's the first piece of music you want to talk about?
Vince Staples.
All right. So
Ramona Park broke my heart.
Shouts out to Vince Staples. I listened to this album. I like it off the first listen. I want to listen to it again to be very critical. Actually, when I listened to this album, I had to take my vehicle in to get its routine service, you know, making sure everything works out, blah, blah, blah. So I was listening to it, and I was enjoying to it, riding to it. And next, you know, boom, hey, you know, Mr. Tribal Chief, your vehicle is ready. Then I had to stop. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go back and listen to it again. But I got through majority of the album. And what I've heard, I enjoyed it. So shouts out to Vince Staples. I'm not going to give a critical review because I want to go back and listen to the album again.
Off the first listen of this album, I can say that this is one of my more well-liked albums of the year. It has a nice sound to it. Vince Staples is rapping. I like Vince Staples at this point in time of his career because it kind of reminds me of when he first came out, but something a little different. Because, like, to me, there is a few projects he put out in the last few years where the beats were just not my, you know, cup of tea. So I just didn't like him like that. So it is what it is. And that stuff matters. Like, I like Currency a lot, but I don't like Currency on every beat I heard him rap on. So that makes a difference to me. So I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Now, that being said, that wasn't the only thing that came out. We also had Bible by 5EO Foreign. What did you think of this?
So I think this album, once again, just like Vince Staples' album, only first time listen. I think like the first half of this album was not that bad. I was like, okay, 5EO. Listeners, I'm not a big 5EO Foreign fan. The man that's sick laying on the floor from drinking pork grease, Spence, he loves 5EO Foreign. That's his guy. He loves reciting his lyrics, his ad-libs. You know, he even got tattoos like the dude. I was like, all right, Spence, you got to cut it out. So he loves 5EO Foreign. Now, he might like this album. Let me say this. This album's not bad, right? It's not a bad album. I think the first half is better than the second half, but it's not bad. I think it's going to be interesting to hear the growth of 5EO Foreign, because I'm like, right now, I'm like, all right, is this really it for him? Or will he evolve into something better than this? Because when I hear this album isn't like, hey, the number one rap release of the weekend. It sounds like, hey, a guy who's probably on the radio more than Vince Staples got a bunch of other guys on his album that's on the radio more than Vince Staples, but the music just doesn't sound quality as Vince Staples.
I think that this album was okay. I am not the biggest fan of 5EO Foreign either, and I think that this album was better than I expected it to be for the first, like you said, maybe 5 to 10 songs. But one, I think that 5EO Foreign isn't the type of rapper that I want to hear for this long of an album. And two, like, I think that his, just hearing the type of music that he makes, like, for that long can be redundant, you know? I didn't think it was all that bad for the songs that I liked. I thought there was more songs that I liked than I expected to. And also, I like some of the features. His rapping has definitely got better since he's came out in the rap game, essentially. And I got to give him some type of credit for that. But that being said, I won't, you know, be listening to this album again.
Damn, that's crazy. I'm going to listen to it again.
I'm not.
You know,
yeah, I might listen to it when I'm working out. That's it.
Damn. You're very blunt with the stuff you don't like. Very direct.
I mean, it's not my fault that I don't like it. You know, like, I didn't make it.
What do you mean? It is your fault. You don't like it.
Nobody's
forcing you not to like
it. I didn't shit on his music. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily my favorite. That's all.
Fair enough.
I think that's fair.
I said fair enough, bro.
Yeah, you did.
You love reassurance. I notice that.
I do. Yeah. I have to make sure that people understand me.
Yeah, I
make myself clear.
Yeah, reassurance. Very direct, very blunt, very negative, Nancy. Just negative. So any other songs or projects you heard over the weekend that you like to shout out or discuss a little bit on?
There's ASAP Ant song, God Hour. That came out. A lot of people are watching on YouTube, apparently over 2 million views. Shouts out to ASAP Ant. I remember we did a segment about him being one of the bigger artists coming out of the DMV at the moment. And it'd be nice if he, you know, got some shine, seeing that he's about to put out his debut album soon enough.
Yeah, man. Shouts out to ASAP Ant. The whole Marino, ASAP Mob, of course. Yeah, man. I mean, we listened to ASAP Ant and the Marino Infantry. So for us, we were going to tune in and check it out. And fortunately for us, it actually turned out to be a good song. You know, it's a nice vibe, whatever. As far as his solo album, We'll see, man. We'll see how good it is. I like this last solo project, Little Black Jean Jacket 2, but it was an album. So, or at least it was, it's not officially credited as an album. This, whatever this album is going to be, hopefully it's good. I'm not saying that every track on there needs to be God Hour, but hopefully not. It's not. Not to its music either. Hopefully this album is more well put together, clear verses, and et cetera, et cetera.
No, is that my bad, God.
There was a song that, well, you didn't mention the song, but you mentioned the artist as you were talking about me being in the Isle of Samoa. Action Bronson. He released a song, Sub-Zero. With the video that you said that, hey, we watched it together, whatever. How did you feel about the song? I know how you feel about the video. I think the video, me personally, I think the video is hilarious. But how did you feel about that song?
I thought the song was pretty good, actually. It's, you know, Action Bronson rapping in the style of Alchemist. And I feel like those two together make good music. I'm curious to hear the album at this point in time. Like, I thought it was cool. I think, I don't necessarily think the song matches the video. I don't think anything can necessarily match the video, but it's a good little song they put out.
So anything else?
That's it.
I know there's got to be another song.
Oh,
or,
well,
no, you have another album.
You have Pusha T and Jay-Z. They put out a song called Neck and Wrist.
So I'm sorry. I fuck with it. I think it's cool. I'm eager to hear Pusha T's next album.
A lot of people are, you know, fawning over Jay-Z's verse on the song, which is a really good verse, excuse me, in my opinion.
Is it because of the Biggie line, how he's going to be like part of the commission or would have been the commission if he was still alive or whatever?
Yeah, you know, that was going to get some people talking. Like, and whenever that relationship comes up, people are going to be like, you know, see what they have to say next. That's just what that is.
Yeah. I mean, not the kids who listen to Auto-Tune and walk around with, you know, shit in their ass, but the fucking, the rap fans, yeah, it's going to get them talking.
Is there any other music you wanted to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, I want to shout out this rapper named Nico. He's been in the game, not at the forefront, but he's been rapping for a while. He used to be under Wiz Khalifa. Obviously now he's definitely not. He's independent. He just dropped the album. Or a project, I should say. I forgot the name of the title. It's like a fuck it sentence. It's not one or two words. But I was listening to it and, you know, I was like, all right, the beats are kind of dope. He's rapping, you know, no auto-tune bullshit. Nothing about him doing hardcore drugs. So, yeah, it's if you want to hear something different, check it out.
All right. Well, that is it for music for me, so I'm good.
All right.
Now, there is one more thing we wanted to talk about. We wanted to give our condolences to Dwayne Haskins and his family, seeing as, you know, I am a Steelers fan and Lyle being a Commanders fan. Like, we both actually had Dwayne Haskins on our respective teams, so just as, you know, a fan of the sport, we want to give our condolences and say RIP to him. It's a sad, unfortunate thing when somebody passes, especially at a young age. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, RIP to the man. He was going to be 25 next month, and it's just very sad. And hopefully his family could be at peace sooner than later. Of course, it's easier said than done, because stuff like tragic events always take time to heal. And it's very unfortunate. It's very sad. But I appreciate all the love that the fans, majority of the media, is giving him. And I think it's cool. Hopefully, you know, he'll be remembered for his Ohio State days, even be remembered for his NFL time too. So just shouts out to his family and RP to Dwayne Haskins. And it goes to show that tomorrow's never promised. So definitely, you know, keep your loved ones close and make sure that you don't end the day on a bad note, because you never know what happens the next day.
Is there anything else you wanted to say before we end the show?
Yeah, man, just make sure you follow us, because we didn't bring it up earlier because the special counsel, you know, he didn't understand his priorities. So I have to straighten it out for him. So make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you like, comment, share, leave a review, whatever the fuck. And just hit us up on YouTube and talk to us, watch our videos, send it to your friends and family, and follow us on Twitter at Advise Highly. This is your tribal chief, the one, the hero, Big Cozy, Too Cozy, and that is the special counsel, the all-seeing, all-knowing, the being under the one, which is me, I'm the one, but he's the being under the one. He's like the living tribunal. Heal Jackson. Is there anything else you want to say, counsel?
Listeners, you have been highly advised. We will see you next week. Hopefully the, if we're the dynamic duo, what would you call the trio of us? Terrific. Nah, that's terrible. No.
Terrific triplets.
Oh my God.
Sounds like it belongs to the circus.
Yeah, no. We'll have to think about that one. But with that being said, you've been highly advised. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir.
Shasha. Highly advised. Shasha.